The tit-for-tat expulsions of diplomats continue today as Russia ordered more British envoys in Russia to go home. Yesterday, Moscow told 60 U.S. diplomats to leave.
The expulsions are taking place at a rate unseen since the height of the Cold War. On NBC's Today show, Russian Ambassador Anatoly Antonov said U.S.-Russia relations are at a new low.
It seems to me that atmosphere in Washington is poisoned. It's poisoned. It's a toxic atmosphere. It's high time for us to stop blaming each other. It's high time for us to start real conversation about real problems.
Our Friday political roundtable joins us. Juana Summers, CNN Politics senior writer. Hi, Juana.
Hey, guys.
And Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent. Hi, Ron.
Hi, good to be with you.
And Ron, the issue behind these expulsions, Russia's suspected involvement in that poisoning of a former Russian spy and his daughter in London this month. It's roiling international relations. And yet President Trump seems to be taking a low-profile approach this week, only issuing written statements to condemn Russia's expulsions yesterday and ordering them via a statement on Monday. No public comments from Trump. What's going on?
The president is pursuing a kind of two-level strategy, if you will. On one hand, his administration is joining the world community, NATO in particular, in condemning this nerve agent attack, not only because of its effect on actual human beings, a couple of Russians, and a number of people just in the community there of Salisbury who were totally innocent victims of this particular attack, but also because this is an extraordinary military-grade nerve gas that is strictly prohibited by international agreements, that has never been used in this way before, and that as an attack on a foreign country's soil, in this case Great Britain, that is an extraordinary provocation in this supposedly post-Cold War world. And so the United States is joining the global community in condemning that, but Donald Trump still wants to keep open his unique, I suppose, open window of communication with Vladimir Putin, with whom he fancies himself to have a special relationship.
On the issue of Veterans Affairs Secretary David Shulkin, he was the latest Trump administration official to leave, but he did not go quietly this week when he was fired by President Trump. He'd been found at fault for misusing taxpayer funds on foreign travel and entertainment. He told NPR's Morning Edition about getting caught in a political fight over privatizing VA medical services.
I was not against reforming VA, but I was against privatization. And I think that it was really the political appointees that were trying to undermine our efforts at VA.
And we should also say that Shulkin mentioned on Morning Edition that he was not misusing taxpayer funds for a trip to Europe. This was not an excursion. This was a work trip. And he had prior approval for the expenses. So now that Shulkin is out, I wonder how the sides are lining up, Juana, for and against privatizing veterans' medical services.
So one of the things, I cover the VA, and one of the things I heard from veterans groups as these rumors started to bubble up that Shulkin could be out any day is they were really worried that President Donald Trump would nominate someone who would be for moving more care for the nation's veterans into the private sector. And I want to be clear about something. About 30% of the nation's veterans right now actually receive some care in the private sector. What we're talking about when former Secretary Shulkin says privatization is allowing veterans unlimited choice. And I think that now they're quite worried, frankly. We heard the president speaking at that campaign-style event in Ohio yesterday. He said he wants to allow veterans to be able to run to a doctor. He said he made changes because he didn't like the speed at which the nation's veterans were able to receive care. And when I spoke to veterans groups and lawmakers on Capitol Hill, they say that worries that Ronnie Jackson, the White House physician who the president says is his pick, while we don't know a lot about his policies, they say that makes them concerned that they will open this up to this so-called unlimited choice to move more care into the private sectors, something that that opponents of that policy say would actually end up dismantling the VA system altogether, and that the private sector actually can't accommodate the 9 million veterans which the VA serves.
Ron Elving, is this the kind of thing that President Trump would have talked to Dr. Jackson about before making him his nominee, whether or not he favored privatization?
One would imagine that would be a necessary part of any conversation if indeed this were the issue that underlay the whole relationship with Shulkin going south. You remember last summer, after Secretary Shulkin had helped the president get a reform bill through Congress remaking the VA in the way that the president wanted, the president said, "We're never going to say you're fired" to our David, referring to Shulkin. you're fine, you've done everything we wanted. He was enormously positive. So for this to have changed so much, perhaps it had to do with that trip to Europe, perhaps it had to do with this other issue of privatization. But if it did have to do at all with the issue of private care, you would think the president would have had that discussion with Dr. Jackson. On the other hand, or Admiral Jackson, I suppose we should call him because he is both. On the other hand, we really don't know what kind of conversations he may have had with his apparent new pick to be the secretary. And it's not clear that Admiral Jackson has much familiarity with that particular issue as it pertains to the VA. He may, but we just don't know.
I think there were a lot of people when they heard that President Trump had nominated the White House physician to replace Shulkin, they thought he was talking about Jacob Bornstein, his private doctor, who wrote the letter saying that he could state unequivocally that Trump would be the healthiest individual ever elected to the presidency. But it wasn't that guy with the long hair.
He was pretty glowing, though, at the same time.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Juana, do you expect there to be more departures from the administration next week? Just this month, they've lost Hope Hicks, the communications director, National Security Advisor McMaster, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, Economic Advisor Gary Cohn, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Take a breath.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, the president's opinions and feelings about some of the top aides in the White House, they really change on a dime. So it's hard to predict. As I've been talking to my sources, we've all kind of been joking back and forth that the best way to answer that question is just to watch the president's Twitter feed. A number of these departures that have happened, I think there have been eight over the course of March alone, including some of the people you just named. We're finding out about on Twitter, despite White House aides going on, news organizations going out and speaking to us and saying, you know, there are no personnel changes to report. So I think the best guidance I would give is that that's a question that only really the president and those who are very close to him can answer. And sometimes not even his chief of staff knows, as we've reported, when he's going out and making these decisions that somebody's going to get shown the boot.
One thing we've observed in the past is the president also watches who is showing up in the media. And Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, is on the cover of the new Time magazine. It's quite a picture, and it says no man is above the law, and it's interesting to speculate how that might strike the president.
Meaning positive or negative,
based on how flattering it is? He has not been happy with other people being pictured on Time magazine cover, such as Steve Bannon.
There is news today, environmental news, that the Trump administration is moving to roll back some tough Obama-era car emission standards. How significant do you think this is?
I would say it's enormously significant because this is part of the legacy, not only of the Obama administration, but of several administrations stretching back years, all the way to the Arab oil embargo back in the 1970s. The idea that we would try to have more efficient vehicles, that we would enforce that through the law, and that has made a tremendous difference in terms of oil consumption in this country and also in terms of pollution. If we're going to back off of that regime, and it isn't just from the Obama years, if we're going to back off from that kind of commitment, it's going to mean a great deal to the fate of the United States, not only the economy or perhaps the energy industry economy, but also to the environmental situation in the United States going forward.
We cannot go through this week without talking about the Stormy Daniels fallout after her 60-minute interview. She asked about whether Trump was aware of a $130,000 payment that his lawyer Michael Cohen claims to have paid on his own to the adult film actress Stormy Daniels before the election, allegedly to keep her quiet about a 2006 affair. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders would only say that the president has denied the allegations. And on CNN with Aaron Burnett 2 days ago, Cohen's lawyer, David Schwartz, said this.
Look, Michael was the fixer. We all know Mike. So
yes,
it could be anything. It's not that this matter. There were a ton of matters that took place that Michael fixed. And Donald Trump wasn't involved in every single matter.
As Stormy Daniels' attorney said, he's more than happy to drive David Schwartz to television interviews because he helps Daniels' case so much. Juana, how much trouble is the president in here?
I think we don't know quite yet, but what we are seeing is an attempt very publicly by Stormy Daniels' lawyer, Michael Avenatti, to put pressure on this White House. That's why I think you saw him making an attempt this week to perhaps see Michael Cohen and President Donald Trump deposed. The president has been publicly, incredibly, very quiet on this matter. It's clear it's a story that neither the White House nor the president himself want to engage in, and we're seeing it play out in headlines and on cable news networks. They're trying to get the president to say something. He's not doing so far. And to your point, from what you said, you mentioned that Sarah Sanders has said, you know, that the president has denied these claims. But to be clear, they...
Oh, sounds like we lost Juana there. Ron, you want to pick it up? Oh, we've lost them both. So we will now wonder instead whether they are playing this at Mar-a-Lago this weekend. You've gone away. Okay, so our guests have returned to say goodbye. Ron Elving, NPR Senior Washington Editor and Correspondent, and Juana Summers, CNN Politics Senior Writer. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you both.
It's Here and Now.